It's finally available. I've been working on a manuscript for the past 4 years, and it is finally a book I can hold in my hands. It's titled, Is God Disappointed in Me? Removing Shame from a Gospel of Grace. This book has gotten so much attention that it is already a number one Amazon bestseller. I'm beyond amazed. In just a few words, I wrote, Is God Disappointed in Me? For Latter-day Saints who often feel overwhelmed by the gospel and who are constantly worrying if they are doing enough. It's for the Latter-day Saint who have stepped away from the church. It's for the individuals who appear to be living right, but still can't find peace and happiness. And frankly, it's for everyone who enjoys listening to the Leading Saints podcast. You will love and cherish this book. Now, warning, you might want to consider purchasing multiple copies to share. One bishop who got an advance copy, read it in one weekend, and then literally purchased 100 additional copies. You can order it on Amazon, the link is in the show notes, or starting in March, you can find it in your local Costco in Idaho, Utah, and Arizona. It's called Is God Disappointed in Me? And you can order it now. So my name is Kurt Frankum, and I am the founder and executive director of Leading Saints, and obviously the host of the Leading Saints podcast. Now, I started Leading Saints back in 2010. It was just a hobby blog, and it grew from there. By the time 2014 came around, we started the podcast, and that's really when it got some traction and took off. 2016, we became a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we've been growing ever since. And now I get the opportunity of interviewing and talking with remarkable people all over the world. Now, this is a segment we do on the Leading Saints podcast called How I Lead. And we reach out to everyday leaders. They're not experts, gurus, authors, PhDs. They're just everyday leaders who've been asked to serve in a specific leadership calling. And we simply ask them, how is it that you lead? And they go through some remarkable principles that should be in a book, that should be behind a PhD. They're usually that good. And we just talk about sharing what the other guy is doing. And I remember being a leader just simply wanting to know, okay, I know what I'm trying to do, but what's the other guy doing? What's working for him? And so that's why every Wednesday or so, we publish these How I Lead segments to share. Welcome back to the Leading Saints podcast, and we found a random studio in Springville, Utah to record something while my studio is under construction here and or under a remodel, and Clint Argyle is here with me today. How are you, Clint?
I'm doing great, Kurt. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah. Now, give us a little bit about your background. Where are you from, or what makes Clint, Clint?
Oh, well, thank you. So I'm a country boy from Spanish Fork, Utah.
Okay.
So Springville's been our neighbor, and I just love being in this area. South Utah County has just been home for me since I was 10 years old, and I just love it here. Nice. And luckily, as I'll get my wife to come here. She's from Idaho, but we talked her into moving here.
Nice. What part of Idaho is she from?
She's from Driggs, Idaho.
Nice. I married an Idaho farm girl as well. So
nice. You're smart.
Yeah. Yeah. They're beautiful women up there, for sure. So now, you have an interesting story as far as going on a mission. It sort of came time in your life, you thought, well, I'm in a good spot in my career to take some time off and go serve a mission. But tell us that story. What happened?
Well, so my wife and I were always dreaming after, because we both served missions when we were younger. And after we got married, we thought, oh, it'd be so much fun to be like those senior couples that we're around. And we'd like to be senior missionaries someday. And so we had that dream and we had that thought we wanted to go. And as we were just going through life, we had this pause in my career and all of our kids were out. And so you have to have a couple of requirements to be a senior missionary. You have to be over 40 years old and no dependent children. Uh-huh. So we qualified for those requirements. And we just had this break in career. And we said, hey, why don't we go now instead of wait till we're a lot older? Let's go while we're a little younger. And so we had the opportunity to go just about, it's been 4 years ago that we started our mission in Oakland, California. as senior missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it was awesome.
Nice. And now this was at the it was the visitor center. How or part of the Oakland Mission or.
Yeah, that's such a great question. People say, well, what is that? I didn't know what it was when we got the call. Uh-huh. We were called to be the visitor center directors for the Oakland, California temple. And our mission was the California Oakland San Francisco mission.
Okay.
And so we worked under the direction of the mission president. But it was really unique because we also worked with a direct contact in Salt Lake at missionary headquarters. So we had a direct contact there too.
Interesting.
It really was interesting.
Now, this is close to my heart because I was a missionary in the Sacramento, California mission.
So that was your temple.
Yeah. So then they had announced the Sacramento temple, but they hadn't yet built it. So I made several trips out to Oakland. And so I love that temple. And it's the one of the few temples, if not maybe the only temple, you can walk on the roof, right?
From my understanding, it is the only one, Kurt.
Yeah, okay.
So far, no one's been able to tell me of any others. So right now, it's self-proclaimed that it's the only temple out of all the temples that has a roof garden, and it's open to the public.
Nice.
Anybody can go up there and enjoy the view of the bay. I encourage everybody to go there that hasn't seen it, that could. If you go to the Bay Area, go to the roof garden. It's incredible.
It is. So you're under the umbrella of the San Francisco mission.
Correct. We report directly to the mission president.
Gotcha. But you weren't being transferred or anything. That was your mission for 18
years.
Months? 2 years?
Actually, okay. 2 years. That was funny. Nice. We applied for an 18-month mission, and we got a phone call from our stake president and said they're looking at all the different options for missions, and we're wondering if you would consider a 24-month mission. And we're like, wow, we don't know of any 24-month missions in the senior portal. So we're not sure what that means, but the prophet's still a prophet, and we can go 24 if we can go 18. So we did, and we got our call, and that's where they called us to, was to be in that opportunity of being a visitor center director. And we had four main responsibilities. This is something other people asked too, because I've attended lots of visitor centers, and I just, run to the nice sister missionaries, run into the senior couples. You don't think anything about who's operationally making sure things run and taking care of things. And so we had four responsibilities. One was to be full-time missionaries. One was to keep the operation running. One was to train the other missionaries. And the other one was to promote the visitor center and market the visitor center to the local community.
Nice. So was there any model that you were basing that off of? Like the last directors there, did they sort of give you some tips? Or, how'd you walk into that and begin to find your footing?
Well, so glad you asked that. Wow, this is a long story, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, so my background is people call me a serial entrepreneur. So I went to BYU, graduated with a business degree with emphasis in marketing, and I took the several entrepreneur classes they had. And then I got into starting business and running businesses. And that's just part of what you do is you market your businesses. And so it was just kind of a natural thing for me. And we had 6 months. When we got our call, we had 6 months before we went to the MTC. And by the way, we did go to the MTC. It was really fun.
Nice.
We had a week training at the MTC in Provo.
Were you there with other temple or visitor center directors?
Okay. Yeah. There's four other couples that were there with us. It was really fun.
Nice.
And so I had 6 months to start looking at it and saying, well, what can we do to market the visitor center? And with my background with business and marketing, I said, well, we need to have a web presence. We got to make sure there's a website. We got to make sure we have social media.
And like this type of stuff you did with your businesses, right?
Sure. Yeah. So it's just kind of natural for me. This is just stuff I do. And so I started thinking, well, who do I know that can help me? And then I got the idea, well, you got to call Scott. And because I knew Scott was actually, it's a funny story. He was one of my Boy Scouts. It's funny how the Lord works in preparing things to happen. Uh-huh. So I'm Scoutmaster. Scott's my Boy Scout. And then I find out years later, he went into digital marketing. He became really, really good at digital marketing. And so I just knew that he'd been in that career. And so I called up Scott and told Scott about the mission call, told him about one of my responsibilities was to market the visitor center, and said, Scott, can you help me out with this? And he said, sure, I'd be glad to help you.
Mm.
And so then he started helping me doing the research online to find out what people were looking for, what they were searching for, the keywords, all that kind of stuff that makes a digital marketing plan.
Yeah. So at this point, like walking into this role, they hadn't done anything with social media or had a website or a web presence. It was just sort of like, we'll take whoever walks in the door and we'll make sure they have a positive experience. Is that?
So that's mostly what it was.
Okay.
But there was a few attempts by different people to do certain things. So we had a random Facebook page and we had a random this and a random that and just pieces of marketing. But it wasn't anybody really said we need to have a cohesive overall effort.
Yeah.
And so that's where we came in and said, wow, we really need to have a website that everything can connect to, kind of like a spoken hub. A website is kind of like the hub in marketing, and you have all these spokes that connect to it. And one of the other spokes was Wikipedia. We didn't realize, but at the time, Wikipedia is where a lot of people go to learn about things about the church or temples or whatever. Wikipedia is a big deal. And so we went and looked at the Wikipedia page, and we figured out how can we do something there.
It's not always accurate, right?
It's not, but you know, they're trying to do their best.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it's good to, you know, at least the people running the center was aware of what it says, so they can make changes.
So we had that going on, and so we worked on that. And then we also realized that travelers were coming to the Bay Area all the time from all over the world.
Yeah.
And they were looking at things to do in Oakland, or things to do in San Francisco, things to do in the Bay Area. And so we realized that, wow, people are also interested in things like TripAdvisor, and they're interested in Yelp and Google. We got to make sure all that stuff's set up correctly. And so those are some of the things that started coming together on our digital presence.
And what years was it that you were there?
So we were there it was 4 years ago.
Okay.
So kind of crazy. We got there, and 2 months later, COVID hit. So we got there January of 2020, and we were shaking hands, hugging people, having a great time. And, you know, by March, it was like, we're going to have to shut down the visitor center.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, especially for a visitor center, that you think, well, if we don't have a visitor center, what do we do? And that's probably, did it help you focus on some of these other efforts?
It was amazing. So, so we actually got sent home, and we were remotely serving. So we came to Spanish Fork, and we were remotely serving is what they called us. And it was perfect. I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is a really good point. The Lord made it possible, because when I was there in the visitor center, we're constantly, you know, meeting with people and working. I couldn't put a lot of effort into the digital marketing efforts. But all of a sudden, with COVID, I'm working from home. And now I'm basically, most of my time, I'm working with Scott, and I'm working on building the website and getting content. And we're putting together this whole digital marketing plan, and we have a lot of time to do it.
Wow.
So for about 5 months, we were home, and we were working on this whole digital marketing thing. And we were also doing Zoom meetings with the missionaries and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little side note for you, Kurt. I wasn't planning on covering this part in this conversation, but we literally watched what was going on, and we figured out how to do virtual tours of the visitor center using Zoom on an iPhone, on an iPad. And we did over 900 virtual tours.
Wow. So there were, like, the full-time missionaries were there at the visitor center doing the tour with
doing
the Zoom
the tour,
on
with
a
Zoom.
On a device.
Yeah, and they would only allow one young missionary group and the senior couple. We don't, because of the rules in California and everything.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing to see people feel the Spirit over media and be able to do virtual tours and see people just have really good spiritual experiences. We were able to walk them through the whole experience of the visitor center with their smartphone on Zoom.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's cool. Now, a lot of our conversation will focus on this broader concept of being a digital missionary.
Yeah.
Because even though you were in a physical visitor center, you made it an online digital experience. And part of that, like you said, is because you had to because of COVID. But I think not only you, but many in the church learned some tips and tricks to be better digital missionaries during this time. So
absolutely.
Is there anything else as far as just laying the background of your story, your service there that would be necessary to talk through before we jump into digital missionary stuff?
I think that's just really a good foundation, Kurt. I think we're good.
Cool. So here we are, like maybe there's a ward in Arkansas who's listening or in Spain or whatever. And they're like, you know, I don't run a visitor center. I'm not a full-time missionary. So where's some principles to jump into that really anybody could consider when trying to be a digital missionary?
Wow, this is so great. So wherever you're living, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can be a digital missionary wherever you are. That's what the concept. If we can get that one thing passed to everybody today, is that you can be a digital missionary wherever you are. Three really key places that we learned when we were out there in Oakland is that people really do look at reviews. It's part of our culture. We all do it.
Mm-hmm.
We look at reviews on movies. We look at reviews on places to eat. We look at reviews to make decisions on what we buy all the time, right? And so we found three key places, and that was Google reviews, obviously, big one. Second was TripAdvisor, because everybody that's traveling is looking at TripAdvisor and saying things to do, where to go, what to do to experience life in that area. And then another one that's really important is Yelp. Mm. And most people think, oh, Yelp, that's just a place for restaurants. But it's not actually.
Oh, wow.
And it's critical. Because how many of you that are listening today have a smartphone that's actually the iPhone variety?
Oh, yeah.
A whole bunch of you, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's like 55% in the U.S. I don't know what it is in the rest of the world, but U.S., 55% are Apple phone users. And the Yelp app is where Apple actually goes and pulls the reviews. So when you're on Siri and say, Siri, tell me about things to do in St. George, Utah, it's going to pull from Yelp. It's not pulling from anywhere else. And a lot of people don't realize that. And so it's really important that we are leaving reviews as members on Yelp. So just the other day, I thought, well, I better drink my own Kool-Aid. In preparation for this meeting, I pulled up Pace and Temple. And sure enough, Yelp had Pace and Temple. And I left a quick review about my experience at the temple. And it's really simple, Kurt.
Yeah.
This is how easy it is to be a digital missionary. I leave the temple, go out in my car, sit down, pull up my Yelp app. And I just leave a message about my experience, why I like to go to the temple, how I feel when I go to the temple. Peaceful is one of the words that we found a lot of the times when people were leaving reviews out in Oakland, that they felt peaceful about their experience there at the visitor center and on the temple grounds, the roof garden, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They just felt that way. And so you leave your feelings. People care about how you feel, and people like us to be real.
Yeah.
And so as a digital missionary, just feel or leave real things about how you feel in your reviews.
Did you make any effort to those that visited, regardless if they were members or not, to encourage them to leave a Yelp review, or did you leave that to the members?
Oh, that's so important. We asked everybody that came, didn't matter. You come through the door, we trained the missionaries as part of our training, make sure you invite them to leave a review. And we try to make it fun. And then we learned that it wasn't always so easy for everybody to find the different apps. So they didn't maybe have the app download or whatever. And so my digital marketing team actually said, Clint, we can make this easy. We'll just give you a QR code. So we made a little handout card with a QR code on. All you had to do is just scan the QR code and boom, you could leave a review.
Yeah.
And it was really slick.
QR codes are becoming more and more used. Most cameras or most phones will automatically do it. You point your camera at it.
That's it.
Right. And even now, I was down in St. George recently, visited a random ward, and I had the QR code for the ward program. Right. And I think most wards are getting used to that. So maybe on the other side, on the door, you could put a QR code to leave a review for even your church building. Right.
Oh, yes. That is such a good point.
Yeah.
I was in California and I would ask churches near me, and I'd be sitting in the parking lot of one of our churches, and we don't even show up on the list because members hadn't thought about just leaving a review for our own church.
Right.
And you think about how many people are moving around in America. People are moving all the time. They come to a new area and they're wondering, well, man, what church should we choose? Mm-hmm. And let's ask churches near me. And literally that's something all of us members can easily do, is leave a review for our church building and leave one in Yelp, Google, and in TripAdvisor. And now somebody that's looking for a church now knows that we exist because we pop up on the top, hopefully the top five list. And I think about hundreds of people every week, members of our church, going to church. If they all left a review, we should be the number one church to wherever we are.
Right. Yeah.
It shouldn't even be a question. We're the number one church to go to.
Yeah.
And when we're done as members, we can start having people just walking through the doors. All we have to do as members is just watch for the ones that we don't recognize. And there's some people that are seeing our reviews and wanting to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah, really fantastic. And so I just want to step back here, because so many people, when they hear like missionary work, we can't help but think of, that means I have to go like talk to my neighbor and have an awkward conversation, give them a Book of Mormon, and invite them to meet with a missionary. And it's just like all these feelings of awkwardness come up, right? But especially in 2024, there's so many of these little opportunities, because you may leave that review on the Payson Temple. That may help it come up in a search result for someone who visits it, has a spiritual experience, gets baptized, and you may never even know about that. And that's okay. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But exactly. Nonetheless, this is still very effective, even sometimes more effective missionary work than awkward conversations with your neighbor.
Oh, very much so. In fact, I just realized how powerful it is when members and missionaries work together as digital missionaries. It's incredible. Let me give you one example. So you had asked about if I had other visitor center directors at the MTC. And mm-hmm. we did. And they were the Idaho Falls Temple visitor center directors. We're one of them. We got to be great friends in the MTC. And then we started staying in contact and was sharing best practices back and forth. And when we started figuring out this TripAdvisor thing, I called him. I said, would you think your mission president would be open to this? Because we're seeing great results here in Oakland. I mean, we went from way down the list of things to do in Oakland, and we started to skyrocketing. Mm. And he said, yeah, I think so. And so we talked him through it. And so with members and missionaries working together in Idaho Falls, and what I mean by that is the missionaries started telling the members and teaching a online lesson or in-person lesson because it was during COVID. So sometimes they could visit, sometimes they couldn't. Anyway, the missionaries started teaching a lesson on temples, and then they'd ask for the members to leave a review. Well, since lots of places weren't getting reviews at all, the Idaho Falls Temple started going like this on things to do in Idaho.
Up and up.
Up and up. It became the number one thing to do in Idaho Falls quite quickly, because it went from like 20 or 30 reviews to 900 reviews. It was just like, because the members caught on to, hey, I can easily leave a review. This is simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they started doing that, and then we started getting awards. And then at one point during COVID, it was crazy, but the temple there in Idaho Falls and the little tiny visitor center became the number one thing to do in all of Idaho.
Now, with all respect to our Idaho listeners, there's not a ton to do. I know they disagree with me, but yeah, but the temple should be one of those, especially I was actually sealed in the Idaho Falls temple. So, but it's almost a historic building, you know, like
it really is.
Everybody should check out in a beautiful setting, and you know, it's worth visiting
right there on the Snake River.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. There's a river walk there.
Yeah,
there's a beautiful Krista statue in the visitor center. It is a beautiful, gorgeous place.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. So, generally speaking, when it comes to reviews, even if you're not near a temple, you can still do it to your church. Your meeting house.
Really. Oh,
right?
Please, yes,
and
please
and do. Even now, I believe just in the last 6 months, the Google has changed. We used to have an icon for church buildings that looked like the angel Moroni, and now they've changed it to a cross. So whether our fellow Christian brothers and sisters appreciate that, we will look and appear on Google as any other Christian church.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With the cross. So the people will maybe be more likely to step in because they're like, I don't know what that image is, but I recognize the cross. So,
sure.
Yeah.
We're just another Christian church, and here we are. Exactly. Come check it out.
Yeah. Anything else in terms of reviews or Yelp or Google or anything with that digital side of missionary work?
Well, the one I thought came to my mind is anytime we're moving into vacation time, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of families decide to go to church history sites. Same thing applies there. You go to Nauvoo, you go to Kirtland, wherever you go doing anything church related, think about just with your family, your whole family, be a digital missionary. If you got children and they have a smartphone, have them leave a review and let them share with what's in their heart as well.
Yeah.
Because now it can be a family experience doing digital missionary work.
Yeah.
You could consciously even say on Sundays, hey, kids, let's go leave a review of whatever we did this last week as a family.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to just leave it to the reviews. Obviously, you want to post anywhere you can online. So think about it. What would Alma, who was an amazing missionary, what would Alma say on his Facebook page? What would he post to people, right? Or what would Abinadi say if he had a chance to do something on TikTok?
Yeah, right. So true. And this is why, especially when you're traveling, you're out of your routine and it can be somewhat less of a spiritual day on Sunday. You know,
sure,
maybe you try and still attend church, but to then engage your family, say, all right, we just went to this church or this visitor center. Let's all leave a review, right? And
right.
And I think of my time, you know, I'll stay at a lot of Marriotts, and if you stay in a Marriott, you know that there's a Book of Mormon in next to the Bible in the bedstand, right? And
right.
So I often walk into the room, put my luggage down, I open that drawer and throw the Book of Mormon on my bed, and then I make sure that I take time to write a message inside the Book of Mormon and then put it back in the drawer, right? So it's just these little things that we can do to stimulate missionary work and create plant a seed that can flourish down the road.
And they make a huge difference. I'm glad you brought the Book of Mormon, because as a missionary, I'm running around out there on the grounds on Temple Hill. We call it Temple Hill there in Oakland. And we're running around and we're talking to people. And I didn't always have a copy of the Book of Mormon in my hand, but we had them there at the visitor center. We had basically every Book of Mormon in any language you wanted. We have a visitor center. Just for all of our listeners, that's a resource at visitor centers. They have a little back room that has all the copies of the Book of Mormon. Well, that wasn't always convenient to be talking to somebody on the roof garden and then knowing the copy of the Book of Mormon I needed was clear down there at the visitor center. Uh-huh. And I just dawned on them going, well, I'm living in the digital world. All I got to do is say, hey, do you have a smartphone? And of course, everybody, yeah, of course. I go, well, hey, open up your app store real quick. And they'll, oh, yeah, what do you got in mind? I go, oh, just download the Book of Mormon app.
Yeah.
It was that simple.
And this isn't the Gospel Library app.
There's a separate app for the Book of Mormon.
Right?
Yes, you want just the Book of Mormon app because you don't want to overwhelm them. Yeah. The Gospel Library will overwhelm them, right? Yeah. So these people who weren't members of the church yet, I just say, hey, grab this app. It's called the Book of Mormon. And then the other thing that's beautiful about this is it's in all the languages. All they got to do is toggle and switch which language they want.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's beautiful, and this is something that I don't know if we all think about, but once you have the Book of Mormon in the palm of your hand, the Holy Ghost can prompt you to read that. And it's available. It's not like a hard copy that's in your backpack you have to consciously pack around. It's in the palm of their hand. If they're sitting in a doctor's appointment, they're waiting for the bus, the Holy Ghost can prompt them and say, hey, you ought to go read that book. Remember that book the missionary told you about or that friend of yours that told you about? And they can go, oh, yeah, I remember that app. And they go click on it, and they can start reading the Book of Mormon. It's just there. It's convenient. It's easy. Yeah. And the Lord's made it easy for all these tools for us, Kurt.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
That's awesome. Talk to me about the, obviously, temple open houses are something that it seems like every weekend somewhere in the world there's a temple open house starting, right?
Right.
I mean, I just got back from St. George. They're just finishing up the Red Cliffs. Red Cliffs Temple. Thank you. Yep. And there's, you know, soon the Taylorsville Temple, that's what was close to my hometown. You know, there's all these temple open houses, and we want to invite people to these. It's such an easy, people are already curious about our temples. They've seen them, they'd love to go inside. And so it's generally an easier invite, but I feel like there's still some steps of building up to that. So just talk to me about open houses in general.
Oh, you just have the greatest questions. Well, this is awesome. Because everyone, temple open houses are special. Mm-hmm. I went to my first temple open house when I was 6 years old. I still remember my parents packing me up and driving me to the Provo Temple to have my first temple open house experience.
Wow.
It was so cool. I still remember pieces of that experience from all those years ago. And they're special. And we have these special opportunities coming all the time now with the Lord building temples around the world. Mm-hmm. And when people who are not members of the church are looking at deciding if they're going to go spend their time at an open house, they're going to look online. And this is why it's really important for us as members to really prepare the way for them to find what they're going to see online. And one of the ways we can do that is while the temple's maybe 2 months out from the open house, we can jump in the car, pull up the Google map and say, Google, take me to the temple, whichever one it's going to be, because I don't want to say one. It's just whatever one's closest to you. Yeah. You have an open house coming this near you sometime in the future. Just have Google take you there. Well, what that does is that starts training the Google algorithm. There's something important at this location, especially if your whole ward family, 300 of you, are now Googling how to get to this building. So now you're training the algorithms to do that. And then, of course, you don't want to just leave it there. You want to jump out. You want to take a selfie with your family. And then you want to upload the selfie in your review, either on TripAdvisor, Yelp, or Google. Because that's the other thing that's really important. When you're leaving, as a digital missionary, when you're leaving reviews, you want to leave pictures. People just like pictures. We all do, right? A picture's worth 1,000 words concept.
Yeah. And I can think of even when you leave that review for the meeting house, you know, gather with your family in front of the building and snap a photo and, include it, right?
Yeah. And you can even put it by the welcome sign where it says visitors are welcome, right? Yeah. Every one of our buildings says visitors welcome. Let's make sure they know they're welcome.
Yeah.
And we want you. And then when they do walk through the door, make sure we are very welcoming.
That's right. That's to live up to that. So, and what about like this, you talked about the ward, like ward building open houses, or is there something there?
Well, that just depends if somebody wants to do one, but I've done this before in areas where there's not a lot of LDS people. Mm-hmm. You can just, if there's a new building you're building, you can do a ward open house and you can do the same thing there.
Yeah.
Just invite people to come and see the church and be a part of it. And that could be something that your stake as a stake leader, you could say, hey, we want to let the community know what this new building is. It just got finished and we're just going to have an open house and have them come. And I'm not sure what current church policy is on that. it's a little outdated on my part, but
yeah, sure.
I've done it before and it's been very good for the community.
Yeah, I think it's typical, especially when a new building is built in an area, you know, the mayor will come or the city council and you know, they make it a thing. But different, obviously differently from temples, is there's not an opportunity unless there's a renovation to do another open house. But with meeting houses, yeah, you could do it. Just make it a thing, right? You could... Even though maybe your building's been there for 50 years, you can still say, hey, on this date, we're going to let the community know we're going to do an open house and we'll get our punch there and our cookies and, you know, do the thing.
Absolutely.
Right. And again, this is, we're just stimulating, you know, discussion online that will drive people to just have an experience at these places that the church has invested so much money for a place of worship, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything else, principal concept about digital missionaries that we missed, or where else should we go?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about is just the end results.
Okay.
We haven't really talked about results, and does this really work, Clint? Is it really a thing, and does it really have value? And the answer is definitely yes. And if you want some interesting reading, 1st of December, there was an article that came out. It was published in Deseret News. And... trying to remember the exact name. This will be close.
We'll link to it. We'll find it and
we'll link
it.
We'll link to it. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So the announcement was 4 temples in the top 20 most peaceful places in America.
Wow.
That's the title. It is pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
So here's a national survey went out and did a survey to find out the most peaceful places in America. Well, we dug into it a little bit deeper. And what they did is they went to TripAdvisor reviews and they went through the reviews and found out which ones had the most mentions of peaceful.
Oh, wow.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
So then we, of course, went and found out that those 4 temples are all ones that we had helped with the TripAdvisor program.
Wow.
And so when you want to go read an article, that's really cool to see the end results of this work of members and missionaries working together. And doing TripAdvisor reviews, you'll find that in those 4 temples are Oakland, Idaho Falls, Mesa, and D.C.
Nice.
And these are all ones that we were involved with helping with this whole program of being digital missionaries and just leaving reviews.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Man, what a spiritual payday there.
It was awesome.
Your hard work, you know, they're picking up on it.
When I saw that article, I read it, I was going...
That's awesome. Cool.
It was like 4 years later from we start our mission.
Yeah.
And so patience pays.
Yeah. Any other stories or results that come to mind? Or
well, yeah. So I'm glad you asked that question as well, because I was on the Temple Roof Garden in Oakland and I'm talking to this gentleman. I can tell he has this pretty strong accent. And I said, so I'm just curious where you're from. He goes, oh man, I'm from Israel. So I'm sitting there going, I have a Jew here on the Temple Roof Garden. And I go, so I'm just curious how you heard about us. He goes, oh, we were just Googling and looking for things to do, and this popped up. And I'm going, it's working.
Nice. That's cool.
It's so cool. And, you know, the Book of Mormon says it's for the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
And I was like going, we have a guy all the way from Israel here right now.
Yeah, most people go to his country to see their temple, right?
Yeah.
Now it's coming to our country to see our temple.
And he's here seeing ours.
That's awesome.
It was a great payday.
Were there some common themes when they walk into the, was a lot of just, we're just bored, or what led them there, or what were they expecting, or what comes to mind?
Oh, at the visitor center?
Yeah, when you're at the visitor center.
It is such a huge wide variety. There's just so many people that come from all around the world. And that's why I think it's so important for us to cast a really big digital net and all of us shining our light online. Mm-hmm. As members, so that people can find us, because they have all kinds of questions. Some of them are coming because they've heard things about us and they want to verify. I remember a lady coming from downtown Oakland came up and she goes, she was a really nice black lady. And she goes, I just want to hear it straight from your mouth what your beliefs are.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
I thought, this is so much fun. Yeah. So I says, okay, ma'am, what are your questions? Uh-huh. And then we just had the funnest interchange. She was just the funnest, most delightful lady and just loved it. And so that's one example. And other people have never even heard, don't have any idea, but they called it the Disneyland Castle on the Hill. Because when you're driving down there in the lower area of Oakland, you're looking up from the highways, you can see this beautiful lit up building.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like a Disneyland castle. That's one of the search terms out there, is the Disneyland castle in Oakland. And they're going, yeah, we just saw it up there and we wanted to come see it. So they just come up here to see it as part of their experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's just other people that want to learn about the church. They've heard about it. There's people, just a wide variety. I just love serving at this visitor center. Yeah. They're so neat.
Yeah. It's such a perfect landmark, you know, especially, I mean, Oakland's sort of the epitome of this, where if you've never been to Oakland, it is, you really do see it up on the hill, like at night, like it is there. Like,
oh yeah.
Like if you're visiting and you don't know what that is, you're going to ask, what is that? You know, cause it's prominent.
It's literally the beacon on the hill.
Yeah.
And a really fun side story. Uh-huh. I'd heard rumor that people said that the airplanes use it for aviation. I thought, well, that's interesting, but I don't know if it's really documented. If that's, you know, just a story.
There's a lot of those faith promoting rumors, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. One of those. And so I actually called my friend that's an airplane pilot. And for a major airline, I said, hey, do you guys really use this? Because I knew he flies in there. Uh-huh. He goes, well, we did in the older days, but now with all the modern technology, commercial, we don't. He said, all the time, I'll hear chatter on the line of the local aviation kind of saying, yeah, line up with the Mormon temple and come in over here at this. And he said, so the local small planes, they still use it as a point of reference.
Yeah.
So isn't that fun?
That is cool. That's awesome. Anything else as far, like if there is somebody that is somewhat related to a visitor center or has a local landmark, like as far as the infrastructure or technicalities of, I mean, should they create a website or is that something that you did in conjunction with the church or, I mean, what comes to mind there?
Yeah, that's really important to know. So we did do all this in conjunction with the missionary department that we reported to directly. Remember I mentioned I have a direct report to Salt Lake and I had a direct report with my mission president.
Gotcha.
So that was all in conjunction with them, and they're very specific on websites, website creation. So I wouldn't recommend anybody
Go rogue, right?
That's a good thing. Don't go rogue. But we did do everything we were doing was in conjunction with the missionary department that I reported to.
Is there anything you did through traditional social media channels like Facebook or Instagram or things like that?
Yeah, we did. We made that part of our overall digital marketing plan, and we have a channel for all those things. And
Just a place that, you know, if people typed it in, Oakland Temple.
Yeah, they would find us on Facebook. They'd find us on Instagram.
You'd go there, see pictures and things like that.
Exactly. So that's all there. And we've tried to really cast as big a digital net as we possibly could and try to help people find us. We just want them to find us.
Yeah.
Come and see.
Awesome. Any other point, principle, story that we need to make sure we share before we wrap up? Or
I think those are really good. I guess my one thought is just go for it. Just go do it.
Yeah.
And all of you that are listening to this podcast today, if you will just influence the people, invite the people that you know that you have influence over as a leader, say, when they come to you and say, man, president or bishop or whoever it is, they say to you, we have this upcoming open house or we have this opportunity. How can we help? And you could just say, well, one of the really neat things to do is, have you thought about leaving reviews? Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't have to limit yourself to one review. I can leave a review every time I go to a restaurant. I can leave a review every time I go to a temple. I can leave a review every time I go to church. Mm. We could literally leave hundreds and thousands of reviews to be a beautiful white beacon online to everyone that comes through our path. It's just amazing.
Cool.
So that would be my invitation. If you would just consider doing that as a leader, just invite people to think about how can I be a digital missionary in today's digital world?
Cool. Well, last question I have for you, Clint, as you reflect on your time as a leader, even as a, a visitor center director and that type of leadership, how has being a leader helped you become a better follower of Jesus Christ?
Wow. Because as I'm following others and learning from others, I just feel the Spirit. It just helps me with my testimony. I just am so grateful for all the leaders in my life. So if any of you have been my leaders that are listening to this podcast, thank you for your service, because leadership is hard. It's not easy. It puts you in the growth zone and you get to grow and learn. And just, I really appreciate all those that have been leaders. Our mission presidents, we had two mission presidents on our mission. We worked with the temple president. We worked with the temple recorder. We worked with the facilities manager. We worked with Salt Lake. And we had so many people that we collaborated with that shared and worked hard and were giving their time and their talents and their resources to building up the kingdom here on the earth. And I just love all those covenant keepers. How's that? They have really inspired me.
And And that concludes this How I Lead interview. I hope you enjoyed it. And I would ask you, could you take a minute and drop this link in an email, on social media, in a text, wherever it makes the most sense, and share it with somebody who could relate to this experience. And this is how we develop as leaders, just hearing what the other guy's doing, trying some things out, testing, adjusting for your area. And that's where great leadership's discovered, right? So we would love to have you share this with somebody in this calling or a related calling, and that would be great. And also, if you know somebody, any type of leader, who would be a fantastic guest on the How I Lead segment, reach out to us. Go to leadingsaints.org/contact. Maybe send this individual an email letting them know that you're going to be suggesting their name for this interview. We'll reach out to them and see if we can line them up. So again, go to leadingsaints.org/contact, and there you can submit all the information and let us know. And maybe they will be on a future How I Lead segment on the Leading Saints podcast. And remember, grab your copy of my new book, Is God Disappointed in Me, on Amazon or in select Costco stores.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.